As we get ready for a big election year in 2024, there's been some news about absentee voting in Wisconsin. We're going to talk in a bit about Republicans seeking to intervene in a Democratic challenge to a ruling on the use of ballot drop boxes. But to start things off, the Wisconsin Elections Commission recently voted to approve a new design for envelopes for completed absentee ballots. The group hopes the changes will help voters and witnesses understand what's required of them and prevent mistakes that could cause ballots to be rejected, as they have been in the past. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you regularly or occasionally vote absentee? Have you ever had any confusion with the ballots or the ballot envelopes themselves? What questions do you have about the process? And we're going to talk about potential changes to improve those envelopes. If you work as an election clerk in Wisconsin, do you think this is going to help? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Riley Vedderkind is a public information officer for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Riley, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It might sound like a small thing, but these envelopes for absentee ballots have been in the news. What prompted the Elections Commission to update these envelopes?
Sure. So the discussion around updating these absentee envelopes has been ongoing for quite a while now. As most people know, absentee voting has gotten more popular in the state of Wisconsin, especially since 2020. And so our commission wanted to ensure that absentee envelopes, which is the two envelopes that a voter would receive their absentee ballot in and then send it back to the municipal clerk. And they wanted to make sure that those are as easy to use as possible. You know, as you've reported on in the past, you know, voters sometimes forget to fill out key information on their absentee ballots. And so the hope is that this new design, which features bold colors and better instructions, clearer instructions, will help minimize mistakes and make sure that everybody's absentee vote counts.
One of the big questions was not what I, the voters, say would fill out myself, but my witness who witnesses my ballot and witnesses the envelope and has to say to sign. What is going to change there to make sure the right information goes on?
Sure. Well, one of the changes is an alert icon calling attention to the need for witness information to be included on the envelope. And then a new separate field is going to be included for a witness to provide their printed name on the absentee certificate envelope as well. So that'll be a big change that voters will want to watch out for as they and their witness are filling out the information on the back of that certificate envelope.
Who did the Elections Commission reach out to in coming up with the changes and the designs? Who did you get input from?
Sure. So our staff has talked to truly a pretty big range of people, including local clerks across Wisconsin, voters, voting equipment vendors, the U.S. Postal Service, and other election experts, including those in other states. Our staff also conducted numerous usability sessions around the state to make sure that these envelopes are easy to use and that we got input throughout the process. So they stopped in places such as Prairie du Chien to Rhinelander. I believe it was around a dozen places that they ended up going to.
How common is it that a ballot in the past might have gotten rejected because of something wrong with the ballot envelope?
You know, I don't have specific figures in front of me. It is fairly rare, but it does happen. And so our commission does want to ensure that these certificates are easy to read, easy to follow, to again, make sure that as many people's votes can count.
Talking to Riley Vedderkind with the Wisconsin Elections Commission, looking at some changes in our absentee voting and a change approved by the Elections Commission to the envelope that the absentee ballot comes in. Sounds like a small thing. It has created some confusion in the past. Let's bring on a caller. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Yeah, I want to describe a situation that happened last year in 2022 because I always vote absentee. I work on election day and I'm able to get to the poll before it closes. So I always make sure that my ballot is secured in an envelope and signed by a witness. But last year, there was a school board election up here, and I misunderstood the direction. We were supposed to vote for no more than two candidates, but they were choosing the top three candidates to go on to the general election. It was a primary ballot. Well, I inadvertently, you know, ignorantly voted for the three candidates I wanted, which is incorrect, and I'm sure my ballot was rejected. But when I went to vote, the Wisconsin, where once you submit your absentee ballot, you cannot change your vote, even though it's a week or two later. So that's another interesting aspect of absentee voting.
Jeff, thanks for the call. And Riley, I will admit to being confused. I thought you could cause your absentee ballot to be spoiled, in effect, and then cast a ballot on Election Day. I don't know if you have the dotted I's and crossed T's on that one in front of you, Riley, but how should that work?
Sure. I mean, this is something that certainly does cause voter confusion. And the rules do and have changed on this subject. I unfortunately don't have the latest rules right in front of me on spoiling ballots. I don't want to provide voters with incorrect information, but I'm certainly happy to direct people to our website where the latest information is posted. So I would direct people to the Wisconsin Elections Commission website on that.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. Ruthann joins us now in Mequon. Ruthann, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up?
I wanted to bring up that the envelope flaps to send in your ballot does not have the stickiness go to all the end of the flap, so that when you close it, the flap is still open and you're not allowed to use Scotch tape. So what we do is we use glue stick on the inside.
Interesting, Ruthann. Thanks for the call. Riley, I don't know if this is part of the ballot redesign. Did the adhesive of the envelope, as Ruthann brings up, enter into the discussion?
You know, that's an interesting point. To my knowledge, the adhesive wasn't a major point of discussion. Most of what our commissioners were talking about was the language that is printed on the envelopes that are sent to voters. However, I certainly am taking a note of that, and that's something that I can bring to our staff just to make sure that those concerns are addressed.
Ruthann, thanks for the call. And Riley, as we wrap up, we've got this new design. How soon will it be implemented? How is the Elections Commission working with clerks around the state to have this up and running?
Sure. So the approval of the envelopes is really the first step in the rollout of these envelopes. So next, commissioners are going to focus on approving uniform instructions. So these are the instructions that are sent to each absentee voter when they receive the ballot and materials in the mail, instructing them how to use them. And so that is the next step in the process. Our staff is also going to be developing some public information materials just to make sure that voters understand that there is a change. And then voters will expect to see these envelopes in use in the February primary in February of 2024. However, if there is a special election before then, these envelopes would be used. And so it's possible that voters could see them sooner in rare instances.
Riley, thanks a lot for bringing us up to date.
Thanks so much.
That's Riley Vedderkin, Public Information Officer for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. We talked to him today about changes coming to absentee ballot envelopes for the spring primary. Coming up, we'll get the latest in legal disputes over several absentee voting issues in Wisconsin, including the use of ballot drop boxes. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you used ballot drop boxes over the years? Do you like them? Are you glad that they are out of the picture for now, or do you want them to come back? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about absentee voting here in Wisconsin. Just a week ago, Republicans filed a court motion to intervene in a Democratic lawsuit from last month. That lawsuit challenges a couple of Wisconsin absentee voting procedures, including ballot drop boxes. Anya Van Wagtendonk joins us now for a look at the latest legal wrangling over absentee voting in Wisconsin. Anya is WPR's Capital Bureau reporter. Anya, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let's review. Start us off, please, with the original Democratic lawsuit. What is being challenged here?
Yeah, so a Democratic law firm filed a lawsuit on behalf of Priorities USA, which is a Democratic Party super PAC, a national super PAC, and the Wisconsin Alliance for Retired Americans. They are challenging some recent decisions about absentee voting. They want to overturn the decision barring the use of drop boxes decided last year. They want to give voters more time to cure their own ballots. That means fix issues on the envelopes on the outside of absentee ballots. And they want to end the requirement requirement that absentee ballots have to have a witness signature. They say that this is a way of making absentee voting more accessible to more people, especially elderly people, people with disabilities, and other marginalized groups.
And some of this now had been resolved, at least I thought, by the state Supreme Court, including a state Supreme Court ruling that said no more of these drop boxes for absentee ballots, right? So this lawsuit is saying, let's go back and revisit this. Do I have that right?
That's right. So some of these are kind of longstanding practices for absentee voters that became much more commonplace during the pandemic. Obviously, in 2020, many more people were voting absentee than was typical because of stay-at-home orders and concerns. And so the Wisconsin Elections Commission developed new guidelines about these longstanding practices that were then subject to a wide variety of legal challenges, including, as you mentioned, the Supreme Court case that eventually found that drop boxes, which had existed prior to 2020, although much more rarely than we saw in 2020, that they would no longer be allowed. And so they had sort of taken away what, again, these groups say is an important tool for allowing people to vote absentee.
So this is Democratic groups challenging these things. And who now was trying to intervene in these challenges last week on the Republican side?
That's right. So the Republican National Committee, the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and then Republican Party chapters in Rock County and Walworth counties all made a motion to intervene in the lawsuit. What that would mean is joining with the Wisconsin Elections Commission as defense in this lawsuit. So essentially they are saying that they want these practices, the requirement for the witness, the timeline for curing ballots, and the ending of the practice of using drop boxes, they want to uphold all of those decisions. And so they are essentially hoping to join the lawsuit against these Democratic groups.
Oh, this can get kind of down in the weeds, Anya, but what are the core arguments that the sides are making in this suit?
Essentially, what the progressive groups are arguing is that this is an opportunity to expand access to the ballot, that the easier you make it to vote absentee, the more you expand access to people who, for whatever reason, cannot vote in person day of. And the GOP argues that they have no problem with absentee voting. In fact, they are making nationally, they're making more of a push to encourage their voters to vote early and absentee. We're seeing that here in Wisconsin. But what they say is that that practice needs guardrails and that the current guidance and the current law here in Wisconsin are those important guardrails. And so that would protect against potential fraud or misuse of this tool.
I mentioned a past state Supreme Court ruling on ballot drop boxes. This case we're talking about could go to the state Supreme Court, but it's a slightly different state Supreme Court. Are we seeing these kind of lawsuits being timed with a change in control of the state Supreme Court?
That's exactly right. So earlier this month, the court swung from a conservative majority, which is the same majority that determined the drop box suit from last summer, to a liberal majority. And so it is likely that we are going to see challenges to some of these processes being brought forward with the hope that a different makeup in the court might rule differently than the conservative majority of the past.
Now, we're having this conversation in August of 2023. Some big elections coming in 2024. What is the expected timeline, if there is an expected timeline, on this suit that's going to be very relevant for those elections?
I mean, that is the big question. It's totally unclear. And I think that we can really expect to see a lot of these challenges coming forward. And as you mentioned, the first of the 2024 election cycle is really not that far away. And so I think voters are really going to have to pay pretty close attention to how rules and guidance comes forward to determine how they can be voting, because these mechanisms are going to be challenged, and we just don't have a clear timeline of when the rules will be decided.
Anya, I understand you're covering a related court decision that just came out regarding a GOP challenge on absentee ballot envelope guidance. What's going on?
Yeah, so that's right. As you kind of allude to, we really get into the weeds on some of these challenges. And so this was brought forward by a group that organizes young voters, and they are suing to overturn a requirement about what an address that is written on an envelope needs to be in order to be considered complete. So you have to write your address on your absentee ballot. And let's say you forget to include your zip code, or you simply don't include it because you're from a small town and there's only one zip code. they are trying to basically make it easier to not consider that a mistake that would spoil the entire ballot. So again, we get a little bit weedsy, but there are these types of challenges coming forward. GOP lawmakers wanted that lawsuit to be dismissed. And so the latest is that a Dane County judge rejected the request to dismiss the lawsuit. All that means is that the lawsuit can move forward. And so again, we're seeing all this kind of play out in these very incremental ways, which means that these decisions about how your average voter can or cannot cast a ballot is being determined kind of piecemeal in these small ways. And again, as we just inch closer and closer to the 2024 election cycle.
Time for a caller. Chris is with us in Menominee. Hi, Chris.
Hi. So my question is, as I'm listening to this, what evidence does the right put forward to substantiate their claims that there is these allegations of fraud or misuse of absentee ballots? What evidence is there that substantiates these claims? Is there any?
Chris, thanks for the call. Anya, I don't know if the legal arguments claim that there is fraud, but maybe the potential for fraud, or that things just don't accord with Wisconsin law. In our last few moments, what do we see?
Yeah, that's exactly right. There are still some claims that this is too easy to be misused. And so whether or not they cite, you know, specific examples of fraud or potential fraud, there are, you know, of course, still some people who claim that the 2020 election had widespread fraud. That has been repeatedly proven to not be true. But even in the absence of that, the argument is that if people believe that fraud is possible, that undermines voter faith as a whole. And so having strong guidelines in place and strong, clear guardrails, as the RNC says, is a way of also just shoring up voter confidence in the process. So that's part of the argument, is that the clearer you make the rules, the more confident all voters can be.
Anya, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Anya Van Wagtendonk, WPR's Capital Bureau reporter, with us for a look at legal disputes over absentee voting in Wisconsin.